When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We have a lot of videos of the podcast and various other tutorials on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel at mixingmusicpodcast.com/YouTube. Happy mixing and enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to the Mixing Music Podcast. I am your host, DK, and with me, first time ever, brand new guest, longtime spouse, is my lovely wife, Kayoko.
Hello.
We're here live on the show. For anybody that's listening right now, we are live at like 9 p.m. The kids are asleep. We're live on Twitch, twitch.tv/DKMixes. Everything is going well. The dishes are clean. The house is clean. The tsunamis are in bed. And I wanted to do an episode with Kayoko, my wife, about what it's been like being married to an engineer, producer, musician, the different stages of, of guilt. And yeah, we're trying to figure out. A lot of people have asked me and about being married and what it's like being married, doing music for work. And I think this is the perfect opportunity to kind of ask Kayoko, because I could talk about it myself all day, but you've been the one kind of, I don't know. I feel like I've just been doing what I want.
Yeah.
And to a certain degree, you've been supporting me and helpful, and we've been supporting each other all along this way. So we're going to honestly just try to be as open as possible and talk about what it's been like being married. And we're going to start off with this. Kayoko, how did we meet and how quickly did you know that I do music?
So we met at like the party, like the potluck party.
We met at a potluck party?
Yeah, and at the Okinawan party that I wasn't supposed to be invited. And I don't think we talk much, to be honest, that time.
So we were in Hawaii. We were going to school in Hawaii. And I'm Okinawan. I'm from Okinawa, Japan. Kayoko is from Tokyo area, Japan. And my cousins were hosting an Okinawan party. Now, Okinawa is kind of like the island. It's very islandy, very the Polynesia of Japan, if you wish to say. And we even have a phrase, you know, if everybody's 30 minutes late, nobody's late. So Kayoko from Tokyo, city girl kind of area, basically showed up on time to an Okinawan party. And that was the first dead giveaway that you were not Okinawan.
Yeah, because host wasn't even ready.
The host was just barely coming out of the shower. You were there on time.
Yep, no one's there. Nothing was prepared.
So that's how we met. Yeah. And tell them more. What else?
No, like I thought like you were a nice person, but I'm really introvert, quiet. So like my first impression is like, oh, cool. But like you're not like the type of the person that I would be friend with. Not that like
I wasn't?
No.
I'm not? Are we friends now?
Yeah. I think so.
That was the least confident answer. Okay, well we met. So I was very eccentric.
Yeah, because like you were trying to talk to everybody and I just very like kind of like say hi, like my name is Kayoko, your name DK. That that's about it.
Okay.
That time.
That kind of was about it at that time. We went on a few dates. And eventually we went on a few dates. And how quickly did you find out? I mean, what was I doing in Hawaii, like music-wise? You knew that I was a musician.
No, like first couple weeks that I started, no, like I didn't really know. But then you kept inviting me to go to the open mic that you're going to be in. And then you texted me like, are you going to be there? And then I think I like didn't go the first one.
I don't remember this at all.
Like you texted me.
You didn't come to my first open mic?
Yeah, because I think I had like an assignment and I was tired and I don't know why. I didn't even know why you invited me to begin with.
The secret to the story is it was because I liked her.
But then I felt bad. So I went to like a second one.
Now, why did you feel bad? Because I worked so hard to invite you?
I think the next day I met you, like you were like kind of disappointed. Like, oh, you didn't come or something like that. It's like, oh, I should have gone. And then I went to the next one. And I don't know that time, but like you had like a cover band. And then all the like freshmen, like girls are like, oh my goodness, like DK. And like I was like
sitting, a lady killer.
And I was sitting by myself, like the girl next to me was like going crazy, like, oh my goodness. It's
really?
Like,
I don't remember.
Yeah,
this.
And it's like I was like feeling awkward. I would just be there to support. It's not necessarily I would do anything. And then like the break, like right after you guys perform, you came to me. It's like, how was it? And like I'm like,
how was it?
Like,
do you remember?
It was good.
What did I sing or perform?
It's like the
was it with the band?
Yeah.
By the way, the band that we had in Hawaii was called Hoopla.
Yeah.
And we did punk pop music, like all American rejects.
Like, and then like the girls next, like it's like looking at me like DK's talking to her kind of look.
Did you feel cool?
No, awkward. I don't want to get any attention. Like, in my mind, like, don't come to me, don't come to me.
Okay. So then...
So that's like, from
what did
the
we
beginning.
Sing? Like,
beginning,
Gives You Hell or something?
Yeah. Sounds and then the right. Vampire Weekends. And
oh, we did Vampire Weekend?
Yeah.
Okay, good. I remember that.
So I felt like... I like the music that you performed and stuff, but like, it's not, I'm not really like, never really friend with like musicians.
How was it being friends with the musician for a first time?
That's good. I don't know. Well, like, I don't feel like cool or anything like special. Just like the friends who perform and do music.
So maybe we should back up and say like, because you're Japanese and you grew up in Japan.
Yeah.
Well, I'm Japanese too, but I grew up in the States. Mm. So as a Nihonjin in Japan, you listen to a lot of American music growing up, which is not normal.
Yeah.
Because of your mom?
Yes.
So Kayako is known for like... Kayako knows a lot more like producers and engineers and like songwriters than I do because you
the
actually
old
like
ones.
Old ones because you actually like read through album notes.
Yeah, that's like fun, isn't it?
You know, there are many other things that are much more fun.
But why you well like why you listen to music like the first time listen to the album, you want to focus on the like what you're listening to. And if you're going to listen to the music and want to focus, why don't you just read the booklet?
Okay,
as well?
So you grew up reading booklets, nerd. And you kind of...
And also, it's in English, so I have to read the like full lyrics to understand.
Yeah.
And like a Japanese translation to understand what
the song's about,
too. So that's why like I always look at the booklet, no matter what.
So how much would you say you listen to music compared to normal people? Do you like music a lot growing up?
I think a little bit more than average people. But I'm not like, yes, like I read the booklets and stuff, but I'm not like super like always constantly listen to music. I'm not that type of person.
But you liked music more than average. Anyway, so we're going into back into the story. So we started dating eventually, and you were so impressed with my open mic night performance that
I'm more embarrassed.
Oh no, the truth.
No, the it's the fact that you came to me and talked to me.
Oh really? It's
the part like if you didn't do anything, I would just leave. And like, it was cool. But because like
because the attention was on me and then I brought the attention to you.
Yeah.
You were embarrassed.
Yeah. No, like don't.
So what I wanted to hear, what I'm going to hear is you were just so flattered that such a handsome young man came up to talk to you. That's why you were so...
Is that... No.
Dang it. All right. So anyway, you knew that I was a musician, that I did music. It was all yeah. Funny games. I basically went up to you three separate times. This is the thing that we said, that three separate times, three different places, three different occasions, three different days. I said to her, I'm going to do music when I grow up. Like me doing music was already decided when before college. Mm. And that I had already decided in my heart. So I told her, I'm going to do music. I'm going to be loud. My friends are loud. I may not ever be home. We're going to be broke for our entire marriage. I'm going to make no money. It's going to suck. I do not recommend marrying me. Are you sure you want to keep dating and marry me?
I'm not sure if that specific.
What did I say? Do you remember better?
I'm going to do music. I'm going to be loud. My friend's going to be loud. Is that okay? I think that's...
No, I definitely said the poor thing.
Well, I think I already knew because you're a freshman. Like, what did I expect? Like, being rich in like a couple years? Married to a freshman?
In college, yeah.
Yeah, like, I'm gonna expect to be, like, poor for, like, at least 5 to 10 years. Anyways.
Oh, by the way, yeah, I got married, so I did, like, a whole, like, 2-year church mission thing. So, I started freshman and college as a 21-year-old. So, I was 21. I turned 21. We got married when I was 21 and you were?
24.
So Kaiko is 3 years older than me. Mm. And it's crazy, right? You married someone younger than you, who's a musician, very eccentric, no. Obviously, who's Okinawan.
I often like look back and think that why did I think that it's okay?
Ouch.
Like it's not like I regret the decision, but like oh my goodness, like I made a crazy decision.
Are you known to make crazy decisions? Have you ever made crazy decisions in your life?
No.
So would you say the craziest decision you've made is to marry me?
I think so.
Okay. Should I ask if it was a good decision?
I think so, yeah. Oh, yeah, okay. I would mean like stay married.
At the very I remind Kayako that like if she had married a regular Japanese dude, life would have been boring. And she should be grateful that it's fun and entertaining. And you never know what to expect. But anyway, let's move forward. We got married in Japan. We moved to we'll just skip over and basically say we moved to Utah.
Yeah.
It was, we had like in between, I did summer sales in like the Southern Bible Belt for like a little while.
But that's nothing to do with music.
That had nothing to do with music. Actually, so.
Texas time, maybe.
In Texas. So after that, my parents were living in Texas. So we got married. We had been married. We were freshly married. We went to live with my parents for like, 5 months, 6 months? Yeah. That's when I first started working at Guitar Center. Like I got my first job because the sales thing was horrible. Door-to-door sales like just sucked. I went to Guitar Center. I was like, all right, I'm going to do something like music-based. you got a day job. The point was for us to save money. Like, we didn't pay rent. We were going to save money so then we can go to Utah so I can finish college.
Because we didn't have to pay rent, like any like food, anything.
Car, nothing. Like, our expenses were supposed to be zero.
Yeah, supposed to be.
Did we save any money?
No. Not at all. We lost some money.
Why did we not save any money?
Because you're so happy working at Guitar Center and, oh, I have so much discount. I should like invest in so many things. And every week you find something and buy something.
Yes, and I spent all the money we made.
And like the month before, a couple weeks before we moved to Utah, you bought a PA system.
I bought a big PA system. That's right.
Like,
because in my mind, I was like, this is a good investment. First off, I got it for like, it was like a $2,000 PA system. I got it for $750. And I was like, I can resell this for more. And I thought, if I start a band in Utah, then I would have leverage, because then I could say, hey, you want to do a show? I'll open for you if you want to use our PA system. We use the PA system for free. You just have to let my band open for you. So I was like, oh, this is leverage. But in her mind, he's spending money.
Yeah, but like...
You were very patient at that time, I'm not going to lie.
Well, like... I think I don't know... I didn't know enough to against either. So I didn't want to just say no, no, no.
You're not really the type of person to say no either.
Like, if you know what you're spending, like, I'm not going to against it. But like, at the same time, like, the whole point of we staying here is to save money. Why every time I see the saving account or checking account, it's minus. So we're not making like a penny or a cent, like not.
So tell me, like honestly speaking, because I know lots of people that are listening are having relationships where probably their spouse or they themselves, like money financials is a big part of marriage and oftentimes the reason why couples have a hard time staying together. It's kind of like one of the make or breaks of marriage. Was that frustrating?
I don't know if I was frustrated. Like,
did you feel like, of course you would do this? Or like,
I think...
Why were you not frustrated? Why was that? Because I would think that it would be extremely frustrating. Like, are you kidding me? Like, we're both working. We're trying to save money. Why were you not frustrated?
I think I felt like I still, myself, I didn't know what to expect either. So it's like, is this how it's supposed to be? Because I know that if you want to start something, you need to invest something. You have to buy equipment, all the stuff.
Of course, starting a business, right.
So like, at a certain degree, I understand. But, so, I don't know. I really don't know. Like,
you're also like, saver mentality. Like, you grew up with parents that like, I mean, being Japanese is pretty common to like, save money and yeah, be more like a saving mindset rather than like an investing mindset.
I think it's just like my personality. I like to save money.
Also, like for me, I'm definitely like more like investment mindset, right? So, I mean, it's crazy, right? This is something that alone, the decision that I made to invest in equipment could have broken a marriage.
I think
could have
you,
broken a relationship.
I think you like convinced me.
Mm.
Like you like always like, this is how like, you know, just like PA system, like I say, like, like, do we really need this? Like, we're gonna move to Utah, buy car, we don't want more stuff to bring anyways. Like, do we really need? But like, you explained that, like, the what you said. So like,
very convincing. I'm very
like,
convincing.
As long as like, to me, it's like, as long as you know what you're doing, like, maybe like more than half, like 50% or more, then like, I will let you do. And then if something come up, like you need to figure out. I'm not going to do it, you know?
At this time, did I have like a solid plan of what was going to happen?
It
was more like I was investing in to start a business and save up for equipment. But like, did I have a solid plan? Like,
no, because that's the time like when we got married, you say you want to do music, but you say like you want to be a producer. And then we moved to the Texas time, you like reconnect with your old band friends. And then you said like...
From high school.
And then you said, oh, let's start the band. And then you said, I'm going to be a rock star. Is that okay?
Oh, yeah. I had a whole rock star phase.
And
I would say that every day, like, for affirmation. I would make the entire band say it. I'd be like, we're going to be rock stars. You say it out loud. And I make every band member
so
say it.
It's so funny that, like, it's not like, is that, will be okay that I'm going to be a rock star? Like, it's not the question. It's, I'm going to be a rock star. Is that okay?
So, I mean, I think this is the one thing to say, too. Like, have I ever hesitated with my goals?
No.
Like, would you say that I'm more goal-driven than normal people?
I think so. And I know that, like, being rock star is, like, not, at a certain degree, it's not, like, really realistic job to, like, you know, say, like, as a married man. But I feel like because you're so confident, like, I knew that, like, you figure out something, you know, maybe exactly like Rockstar, but, like, you make, you know, make things
something
that, work out. So, like, I thought it was okay. And then, like I said, like, first couple of years of marriage, like, we're going to be poor anyway. So, like, why don't you just do whatever you want? Like, I didn't really expect to do.
So anyway, we're going to move along. We go to Utah. I did not own the studio at first. And eventually, we took a big risk. I mean, I was going to school full time. Eventually, like, literally a year after we moved out, I met up with some friends. There was an investment opportunity. Took out a loan, basically, and started the studio. Now we have two rents to pay. Do you remember that? How did you feel about me starting a studio? Was that a surprise?
Like the cold house?
Yeah.
No, because remember that you were doing at your own our apartment, and then there's an issue with the landlord that, like,
you being too loud.
Yeah, too loud. So we have to move out. So it was perfect that, like, because we are looking for housing that, like, it's like sound, we can make it soundproof and, like, you can do music and, like, have our own space. So, like, we were kind of looking at, like, two bedroom housing or something that it was impossible to find that time. So, like,
so, yeah, I remember the options were either a house, an isolated house with at least two bedrooms, or get a studio and an apartment.
Yeah. So to me, it's like, I felt like, oh, like, great. Like, you have a other place that you can work and we don't have to, like, we can just look at, like, a cheap, like, small apartment that would be okay.
And I do remember the first, when I was working out of the apartment the first time before Cold House, there was a couple other, like, regular concerns. Like, you were not comfortable with strangers coming to the house when I was not home.
Yeah, because, like, there's a couple times I was, like, someone knocked the door open. I have no idea who that is. And, like, oh, I came to...
It was my customers or, like, my friends or whatever.
I came to record with, like, DK. And, like, do I supposed to let them in or, like, what? Like,
so that was, like, a poignant point of concern in the sense that, like, you were like, hey, I don't really like that.
Yeah.
And you voiced that.
Yeah.
And so that was part of the reason as well. Is like, we wanted an isolated room that or like a garage, an external garage where, like, there's a separate entrance for that. Anyway, Cold House just solved a lot of problems for us.
Yeah, and then you were doing band practice too, so.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was like when you had a band, like there was like six of them and like squishing into the one room-ish, so hot, like I couldn't really do anything.
So when we opened Cold House, which is like two big rooms and a small upstairs. So, and I was paying, it's Utah. Remember, these are Utah prices. It was a shack. It was its own shack. Looked like a meth house from the outside. On the inside, it was nice and well built out. But I think it was like $650 or $750 a month plus utility. So it ended up being like $900 to $1,000 a month for everything. And our personal one, two bedroom apartment that we had in Utah was like $800 a month or something like that at the time. So it was a little bit more than our regular apartment. So we just doubled our rent. You were working full time. I think you were working a little bit more. You had a full time job and a part time job.
At the time, I was double work. Well,
yeah,
like,
so you
were
like 60 hours a week.
No, 40 hours.
40
no,
hours? Oh,
no,
you
no,
had
no.
two part time jobs to make 40 hours.
No. Yeah, like 20, 40, but I started working like 30, like 50 hours a week.
So basically, the way that we were going to distribute responsibility was I was going to work to pay for the studio rent because we could not afford to pay from our personal pocket to pay the studio rent. We had to make profit or at least break even from month one. That was the only way we could make it work. Kayako was, and her deal, and this kind of, we kind of talked about it, but it kind of happened naturally. We agreed that, like, you were basically going to pay for the house rent, and I was eventually going to start paying for the apartment rent as well as soon as I could, but it took about, like, 2-3 years.
Yeah, it's...
Do you remember that period, that 2-3 years of how long I was working and how hard you were working and what that was like? We didn't have any kids at this time.
Yeah, well, like, like, from the beginning, like, since we moved to Utah, like I knew that I was supposed to work because I'm not going to school and stuff. And first couple months, I thought, like, you're gonna, when you started at the, like, just, like, own room studio thing, like, a mixing, like, just started, like, you only charge, like, 10, 20 bucks an hour for mixing
from the apartment before
before Cold House, and then you said that like all the money is gonna go to our bank account and I'm gonna distribute, you know, a contribute, and then like a month after, like I was asking you like how's it going, like it's, are you gonna like be able to like, you know, contribute some money to, you know, our rent and stuff, and then you start saying like, oh, this is a business, so what I earn, I need to invest it to new equipment, and you
Man,
need to
I was
do
really
all that.
You're making me sound really manipulative.
Well, that's what you said.
I was really manipulative.
And then like, I need, so it has to like go like as a cycle, so I can just take all money, you know, as I earn, like, which I understand, like, I know.
I don't understand. Like, you recalling this makes me be like, wow, I was stupid. I was stupid. And did you really understand? I don't understand.
Well, like, look, I know how business works, like, a little bit, like, basic stuff. So, like,
I did not.
Like, this is what different from what I heard from the beginning, but, like.
I was just really convincing.
But then, like, well, if I argue, like, I'm like, are we going to get more money? Like, no. And you're not going to get any equipment? No, like, you're still going to buy equipment and stuff to upgrade stuff. You're going to spend money anyways? So like, oh, okay, I'll forget about it. Like,
it's so like, you just took the passive route because it was
easier.
Yeah,
because...
Which is kind of dangerous, but also good thing it was me. I'm not the dumbest person. I'm pretty dumb, but not the dumbest. And we made it work. Somehow we made it work. Cold House was profitable from month one. Remember when I was working like 60, 80, 100 hours a week and going to school full time?
Yeah.
Did you ever see me?
Nope.
But I mean, that was also like part of the reason why it was good that you were working because you weren't bored either.
I was busy too.
Yeah.
I was like working really late.
Was that stressful that I was working so long?
No.
Did you like not love me?
What kind of questions? Like?
I mean, I was gone for so long. Like, you didn't miss me at all? pressure.
Like, I want to see you and spend time with you. But at the time, like, we were all focusing on, like, keep everything going.
Yeah.
You know, at the time, we didn't have kids. So it's like, you know, I can take care of myself. I'm working. I didn't really have social life, but it was okay, you know.
I mean, compared to now, I mean, do you feel like even then when we were busy, did you feel like we got to spend a lot more time together as a couple, like by ourselves, than we do now with kids? Did you feel like we were busier then in memory? Do you feel like we were busier then or we were busier now?
I don't know.
Because I definitely don't work. I barely work, maybe.
But I'm
busy.
Well,
this last couple weeks, I've been working like 60 hours a week. But like, I usually try not to work any more than like 40 at most.
don't know.
But do you, I feel like I'm busy now, but like different because we have kids.
Yeah, it's like a different, you know.
The point that I'm trying to make is like when you're single and you don't have kids, I'm busy is not an excuse. Is it? Is I think what I'm trying to make here. But on the live stream, on Twitch, Mitchell Bashford, Mitch asks, question for Kayoko. Is there anything that DK did or said that made you more comfortable throughout his process?
Like
throughout this process. Is there anything that I said that made you like more comfortable?
Like being like engineer?
Anything, just anything, like through all of our struggles.
I don't know.
Anything I did? Was there anything that I did or say that made you feel any sort of comfort?
I don't know. I don't feel like I didn't have time to like be anxious or like.
Oh, he clarified. Throughout his process of making a lot of investments and spending a lot of time working.
Yeah.
Was it ever uncomfortable? You're not the type of person to get
uncomfortable. I wasn't uncomfortable. Like sometimes like part of me thinking like, is it necessary? Like I think it'll be a little bit. Like, if he make a big purchase and, like, show me, like, what he bought, like, that's make me, like, okay, that's what you buy. But sometimes, like, I see, like, a bank account and, like, I have no idea what he spent it on. And if he can explain this is, like, for, you know, like, a software, like, that, like, make it clear, like, I'll be okay.
Yeah. And granted, I will be very clear. And say, at no point did I ever use credit. As in, we were never in debt.
Yeah.
We were never in debt.
We never
went negative.
Yeah,
ever.
So I think that's a part of
and
that I
would
didn't
say that's
feel.
A big point. Because there are some marriages where they marry into debt. Or one of the spouse, man or woman, just has a spending problem. And like, no matter how much you tell them, we don't have enough money to spend. You need to stop using the credit cards.
Yeah.
They just continuously spend.
So I think we knew that like how much we're spending, like even you spend a lot of money, but like I knew that we can pay rent and pay groceries and utility, like fine.
And our necessities like, were covered.
Yeah. So I wasn't worried.
Yeah.
I think that's.
So there was no worry because we were never in debt, which I do recommend. Like I recommend anybody like get out of debt, stay out of debt. That does relieve a lot of stress. And in our case, we never had it. Well, I didn't get into any sort of debt at all, smart or otherwise, until before I moved out, when I bought my ATCs, I bought it on credit.
Yeah,
with
that's,
like monthly,
but
like,
that's
no
the
interest
only thing.
Monthly installment. That's like the only thing.
Yeah.
Which is to me month free. I mean, we had the money to pay in cash, but the thing was like, it was free money. It's free money. I mean, like no interest payments. That was the only thing that we had. And my potential income would increase over the course of the year. I'm not recommending anybody do like monthly installments because it's free monthly installments, but like and it was a smart decision to say the least.
And I think it's a working part is that like you always like nowadays he doesn't much, but like back in you know, when we lived in Utah, you started, like, you always share, like, what, like, recording session you did, or, like...
I was very open and communicative
like,
with what I was doing.
Like, yeah, like, this is a mix that I did. Like, you share, like, even though, like, I enjoyed it. Sometimes, maybe I don't really care much, but, like, at least I know what he's working on. So
you were very much part of my process and part of my celebrations,
and then that
was comfortable for you. That made it a little bit easier to digest.
And then also like he introduced a lot of like friends that he made at the studio, and like I'm having a hard time keep track. Like, have I met you? No, I don't know. But like everybody's so nice. Like, oh, DK is so awesome, and like he's doing great job. Like he recorded our band. Like it was great. Like. They like share what, you know, also share what he's doing.
Did that make me any more attractive to you? Were you like, ah, DK's so hot because all of his friends think he's so cool? Was that ever any point crossing my fingers here?
I felt more like
answers no.
No, I felt more like oh, like, he's doing great. Like, he's doing what he want to do. Like, he's making progress. He's towards his goal. Like, that's more like comfort than like, mm-hmm. oh, like, he's cool. Like, I'm a cool girl. Like, you know, he's my husband, you know.
Did you feel cool? Did my coolness no. rub off on you?
No.
I think you're cool.
Because that's your thing. It's like nothing to do with me.
Okay, okay. So anyway, we get Cold House. We eventually had kids. And I'm trying to get more information out of you for like people to kind of relate to and kind of get some information out of. But eventually we had kids. The plan was she was going to work during the day and I would watch kids and I would work at night.
And no, watch I was kids working at night.
Oh, you were working at night. I was going to watch kids during the day or work during the day.
Because you have school.
Yeah, work and go to school during the day. We would swap. You would work at night. I would watch the kids at night. After 5 to 7 days,
yeah, I still remember.
I had the babies would not sleep. Kaname would not sleep at
well,
night.
Well, he was 3 months.
He was 3 months, of course. The first 3 months or first 3 to 6 months are always horrible with sleep. But not sleep. I woke up like I for the first time ever like sympathized with baby shakers. Like I like had a full mental breakdown. I was like, I need sleep. Because granted, I was with the amount of time I was spending at work and with school, I was sleeping maybe 5 to 6 hours a day.
Yeah,
if
that
I was
time
lucky.
You didn't sleep.
And so I was losing my mind. And I'm the type of person, unfortunately, like some people can sleep 5 to 7 hours and be totally fine. Mm. I'm the type of person where like 8 hours is not enough. So like me sacrificing sleep, I was angry. I was upset. I was emotionally distraught. Had a mental breakdown. I was going to shake the baby because he would not shut up.
That was like
so I put
month.
The baby in the closet and I was just like, I like woke Kaiko up and I was like, I'm sorry. I cannot do this right
no,
now.
No, that's when we...
Talking about babies crying. One of them's awake now. But but seriously though, like there was a point where like I went up to you and I said, after like 5 to 7 days of you working, I said, yeah. You need to quit. We're not making enough money to pay house rent and studio rent, but this is not working. I can't do this,
yeah,
basically. And so I
remember
forced you to
like
quit.
You came like holding like baby and like, could you quit your job? I'd rather be poor than like me not being productive. That's what you said.
So I guess I felt unproductive taking care of a child rather than working and that's kind of sad, but it was very strong. It just did not work for me. For some parents, it works really well. So I was like, yo, I know that we're making more money and this is way more. We're saving money. But I was like, emotionally, this is not feasible. Like, I cannot do this.
And I was okay staying at home.
Yeah. And I mean, we are Japanese, right? It's the honorable, it's the common sense thing to do for the wife to be stay at home. Right?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of America. It's women... In Japanese culture, typically women don't really want to work. They'd rather be mothers at home.
That depends.
I mean, it totally depends, but I mean, compared to America.
Yeah.
So anyway, that was kind of the expectation. We didn't really, that was it. Like, we tried, we didn't work. And
that was like a first time that like, I don't make any money. We're gonna
like.
It
was scary.
Like,
it was so scary because
like,
I was not making
DK,
enough to pay both rents.
Good luck.
I was not making enough.
Hoping that we can pay rent.
And I wasn't about to get a part-time or full-time job either. Like, I was...
No, you did
I
a little
prideful.
Bit.
No, not during that time. After I quit
oh,
the Guitar
true.
Center was the last
that's
time.
That's true.
So, for like 3 months, I remember for 3 months after that, we paid for our house rent partially with our savings.
Mm.
So, like, our savings went down quite a bit.
Oh.
You might want to go... I'll continue the story, but... Kaiko's going to go take care of the child for a moment. I was not making enough money to pay both rents. Then we were going into savings for 3 months. And on the fourth or fifth month, I finally made enough money to barely break even. And I think I went back into savings to pay rent, apartment rent, like a little bit, like a month after that or two. And after that, it was kind of like sketchy. It was like red, green. It wasn't really consistent. It took like a full-on year after that for it to be like really consistent, I would say, where it was consistently we were going to break even. And I would say that was a really scary time. And Kaiko's putting the kid to bed right now, so I'm going to keep talking. But it was really scary. It was frustrating. And at the same time, like for me, I had no other choice. There was no plan B. I was convinced I was never going to get another job ever again. And so I hustled like crazy. And this is, Kaname was born in July. So summertime, I was doing theory, spring and summer, I took theory classes. So theory, I was like 4 hours of homework a night. It was horrible because I'm bad at theory. Like, it was just, that was just, I didn't do classical piano or classical instruments growing up. So it was just really hard and difficult for me. It was like math, basically, way too much math. And it took me a long time to get wrap my head around it. So I was getting 3 hours of sleep a night on top of working 100 hours at the studio because it was busy season in summertime. So I was like brain dead. I would literally, like, in the middle of recording sessions, I would pass out on the desk. And it was bad. Clients noticed, I noticed, wife was noticed. I didn't, I mean, Kayako, you could tell that she's really, really chill. So there was never, she's not eccentric at all. And that was definitely a choice that I made. So while she's away, I'm going to say something very important, is that if you are planning on getting married, if you're thinking about having a relationship, which I totally support, if you're trying to do a music career, I'm going to tell you something honestly right now. This is going to hurt a lot of people. If you are married, you are committed to that relationship, though, no matter how difficult it is, you should be committed. Divorce shouldn't be an option, not because it's bad and it's looked down on. No, not at all. So there's some relationships there should be divorce, especially abusive ones. Get out of that quickly, right? But if it's an option, if you have a plan B, then you won't work as hard on plan A, right? With us, with me and Kayako, like, I'm very proud to say in our 7 years now, next week it'll be 7 years, in our 7 years of being married, we have never fought once. And this is the thing that's going to hurt some people. I firmly believe that who you decide to have a relationship with and who you decide to marry will make or break the happiness that you have in your marriage. I hear so often people say, marriage is supposed to be hard. It is hard, and I think there are parts of it that are hard. But relative to the expectations that were set, my marriage with Kayako, and Kayako can agree, has been easy, even with the problems that we've had, has been immensely easy. Maybe that's partially due to gratitude and expectations, but I mostly think it was because I picked the right person for me. I knew that I was very yin, very feminine energy, very chaotic, very creative, and I was looking for a yang. So a little secret about me, I do not flex this at all. And I hope that my ex-girlfriend does not ever hear this, because I've never said this publicly out loud, only in private conversations. But I had an on and off girlfriend for like a couple years, freshman, eighth grade to like sophomore year-ish. Broke my heart. Sure, we'll call it that. And I honestly just wanted to make her feel really bad, and I got really petty. And so I decided I would go on a date with a different girl every weekend for the rest of my high school career. And I did. So I went on like 100 and 150. They never went far. Like, I wasn't trying to kiss every single one of them. They were just dates, right? 100 to 150 dates during my high school career. I had enough experience with talking to girls and trying to build substantial relationships, non-platonic relationships, that I knew what I wanted. I knew what kind of personalities were good for me that stimulated growth and was healthy, and some that were toxic. And I knew that, like, me hanging out with another super eccentric person, like, I love Lou to death. But if I married a girl, a Lou type girl, I know that that would never work out with me. I can't. If I married like a super alpha female girl, that wouldn't work out with me either, because I'm an alpha male. I really am. If she wasn't creative, I knew that that wouldn't work out. There was different things that I knew wouldn't work out. And I don't think everybody has the opportunity to do that. And some people are more introverted, extroverted. I'm not saying you have to go on a shit ton of dates, but some people feel like they're limited in option, which is fair. So I'm not looking down on any of that with who to marry, who to date. But I will say, especially as much as you're in control, who you choose to marry has a big impact on your happiness and your marriage. I was going to say, like, I was telling everybody, do you think our marriage has been hard?
No. Like, I don't think that's hard.
Like, why? Why?
Like,
do we get along?
Yeah. Like,
and why do you think we get along? I mean, we talked about it the other day. Like, we were trying to talk to my brother's getting married in a couple weeks, and he was talking to us like, "Whoa, like, give us some marriage advice." And we were trying to give some marriage advice. What do you think is the secret that we've been able to stay so happily together? Like, we've never had any big issues or arguments.
Yeah.
Never been jealous of each other. It's always been super chill. And life has been difficult for us. We've been poor. It's been strenuous.
Well, first of all, like, if you, like, one of the spouse, like, trying to, like, you know, make a career out of, like, music or, like, I'm doing art, you know, like, some, like, not easy path, like, you have to kind of, like, do it your own. Like, you don't expect to be financially stable for a while. Like, I'm hoping that we'll soon.
So it was more like, so we were talking about this before. You were saying that it's more like we had low expectations to begin with.
Yeah, because I'm not, you're a freshman. You're just talking about all the dreams and goals. Like I'm not, you're not going to finish college first. You're not going to make a lot of money. And you're going to do music. It will take some time to make money from music.
Especially as a freelancer, yeah.
So, like,
You kind of expected it. Yeah. I mean, you had your expectations properly set.
Yeah, I think so.
And I think that's the secret, too. There's a lot of gratitude as well. Like, being grateful for what we did have. Granted, I think this has partially to do with it, too. I don't mean to bring this up and be public, but, like, I grew up in a upper-middle-class, lower-high-class family. Like, we weren't, like, crazy rich, but we've never had any money. Like, if I wanted something, I got it. My dad worked really hard. I never saw him. He was like the classic American dream, like, was poor and then climbed the corporate ladder and did really well. And now he's like a bigwig at IBM and he makes a lot of money. And he invests in a lot of money into different stocks that have made him more money. And he's definitely like a day trader type on top of his full corporate job. Kayako, on the other hand, like, totally immigrant Chinese dad living in Japan who, like, immigrants in Japan do not make money, unlike America. And,
but he working for, like, other...
Yeah, and, like... And
but we're
mom
not...
Mom was stay at home. Like, it was definitely not in the same financial situation. And then, if I may say out loud, like, right after you graduated high school... Was it after you graduated high school?
I was 21.
When you were 21, your father passed away, so before we met.
Yeah.
Which kind of threw a financial wrench into your family's thing. So, like, I don't want to say that. So the one thing that I learned from my relationship with my family is that in no way did things or money ever make any of us happy. If we were all forced to sit into a room in a living room for 12 hours, someone is going to get stabbed. And I'm not making this up because many times siblings have pulled knives out on each other in my household. All right? It was bad. In your household, if you were forced to stay together for 3 months in the same room, everybody would become better friends. And honestly speaking, that's what I wanted as well. Sorry, I kind of went on a tangent, but okay, let's go back into, I want to talk to you more and ask you some more questions here. So we started doing well with Cold House. When did you feel like you started getting comfortable with the idea of like me working full time? And doing music, was it ever like, did you ever be like, oh, now I can kind of relax a little bit? Or did you feel like you were relaxed from the start?
Like, what does it mean? Like,
I don't know. Was there ever a point where, like, I was making enough money, I was doing well enough that, like, you can, like, it wasn't as stressful anymore?
Like, you just working full time, like, now?
When is the least stressful time in our marriage for you?
Like, financially?
Just in general. Life.
Stressful?
The least stressful.
Least stressful. I don't know. I don't really...
Does that mean everything was stressful, or does that mean
nothing was, like, that stressful. Maybe, like, last year you were away, like, we both, like, lived.
Okay.
I think that's the only time.
We'll get into that conversation in a second.
But I don't think so. Like, yeah, like, our budget was tight sometimes, but, like, we're already poor, so, like, nothing get worse than this, you know?
Mm. I do think, I honestly think, again, I honestly think this is also just like a bunch of luck. Like, we're really lucky. And, like, there are so many things that I learned about you after getting married that I didn't realize would be so compatible with me. Mm. And you're just like a low stress, no drama type girl. You have a lot of, you have like a lot of yin masculine energy. Like, you have a lower talking voice than I do. And I think now we're right? I don't know what it is. But anyway, we're going to move into the next part of our lives when we had our second baby. So real briefly, I want to go back to what happened when we moved to LA. So just to kind of recap, when we moved to LA, it was very difficult. I had a label thing going, a community, a group of artists that I really, truly believed in. And the goal was we were going to move to LA and continue to try to seek a career for all of us as artists, me as a producer, engineer, in California. So it was going to like scale, to like, to, you know, pursue the next steps in my career, our career, our careers. And we did. And I planned on it. I moved out. You were pregnant with our second baby. I got you pregnant on purpose. And
it's not an accident.
And we had Utah insurance. So the deal was we ended up you staying with my parents again.
Yeah.
One more time. And because they had just moved to Utah when we moved out. And you were living with them, raising Kaname-kun and Kaname, and going to have the baby in Utah. Baby was due in October.
October 14th.
I moved to LA July. Mm-hmm. Started in the Mix Studios in August 2020.
Mm-hmm.
So moved to LA August 2020 or July 2020. Opened the studio the next month, August 2020, with Lou, and it was tough and it was really difficult. And you had the baby
in September,
a month early. I totally missed it. Like, you were, you had...
I'm trying to hold it.
Thank you for the effort. But missed the baby. We found out that he had Down syndrome, which means that he has... Usually Down syndrome kids have a weak heart. So he needed to get open heart surgery, but he... The doctors are trying to avoid giving him open heart surgery until 6 months of age. So he was stuck in NICU for 6 months minimum.
Well, usually like most of the kids will be discharged and wait till the open heart surgery. But
okay, so they usually get discharged and then they come back for open heart surgery.
But my boy was, he has a respiratory issue that he couldn't get the nasal thing out.
Oh, he couldn't get his oxygen out. Like, every time they tried to take it out, wean him off the oxygen, his
and
oxygen
then,
levels
yeah,
dipped.
So they couldn't, discharge.
So that was probably the most stressful time in my career. Actually, that was probably the most stressful time in my entire life, was during that time when we were apart for so long.
Mm-hmm.
If you can tell, I rely heavily on the emotional support of my wife. Being along that long was really, really horrifying. I'm the one that wants to cuddle, you know, and that was really hard. Lots of guilt because, you know, having a disabled child was really freaky and difficult and hard. And for some reason, I felt like it was my fault, which makes no sense in hindsight, right? Probably, and any therapist would tell me that. But for some reason, I felt really guilty. I missed it. I felt like I'm causing a lot of stress on my wife that I wasn't home. We were just starting the studio, so I needed to be out there. So what I would do is basically I'd go out to LA for a month and then come back to Utah for a week and then go back out for a month. And on New Year's, it was just no longer feasible. We left my parents' house after a lot of, we'll just call it drama. After a lot of drama, left my parents' house. We kind of cut off ties with my parents, unfortunately. And paying double rent, and I started coming back to Utah every weekend, and the baby was still in the hospital, and you were going out to see the baby every single week, every single day. Kaname wasn't seeing dad. It was just a smorgasbord of just unhappiness. I got depressed.
I was really depressed. Unhappy.
Well, yeah, this, you were pretty chill. I mean, but I was stressed out with work, with money, yeah. and not too much with money. I mean, we were making enough, but it was just absolutely stressful for me. And honestly, you have a lot of my, you stabilize me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So like when we weren't together, I adventured into like psychedelics and to, I had a medicinal license for marijuana. So I started smoking for the first time ever. Never drank. I don't do that. And it was just like depression. It got really, really bad. People screwed me over big time. I like got like law enforcement involved and lawyers involved with something. And it was just a bad time in my life. The hardest time ever in my entire life. I just wanted to see my kids. I just wanted them to come home, but we didn't, like, there was no home. It was this, we were in between Utah and LA. And then about 7 months, 8 months after the baby was born, finally.
No, it's like 6 months.
No, it was like 6.5, 7 months.
Like six and a half.
Yeah, finally the baby, Kyo was discharged. He healed up really quickly after the surgery. Everything went really well. He got discharged. It was finally time after about a month and a half, 2 months after that.
2 months after we moved.
We finally committed to moving to LA as a family. I found an apartment a block away, a new apartment a block away from the studio. So like I live walking distance, 2 minutes by walk from in the Mix Studios. And that's where we're at now. And things have been smooth ever since. Granted, there was a lot of gratitude because of how hard things were.
Mm-hmm.
Now I just kind of briefly told what happened, but from your perspective, how was that?
The whole thing, the whole past year?
Were you upset that I tried to, you know, work on my career?
No, because...
Did you feel like I was being selfish? Because I was worried that I was being selfish.
Well... Like of course, like I wish that you'll be here, like close to us. But then I knew that like we were always talking, like the goal was to move to LA or New York, eventually like a bigger city that like you can pursue your career. And then like Utah is a good place. But if you want to achieve, like reach your goals, like this is not the place to be. And to me, it's like I can live wherever, you know, like
yeah, we knew that Utah was not home for us.
And if it's like, I understand, like now you the one like provide families, like everything. So if this is not the place to be to like support your family and reach your goals, like I'm totally understand that like you want to move to LA. It's like total natural thing. And I was kind of like thinking about the timing things, like why, like can you wait? But then, you know, but also like why you wait?
Yeah,
you know. So I understood that like whole circumstances of why you want to do it. So I wasn't like I never felt like you shouldn't do this or do that or like blaming on you or anything. But like. And at the same time,
honestly,
like
we didn't plan on it. Like we were planning on you moving to LA as soon as we had the baby. Like we would spend Thanksgiving with my family and then we would just move to LA as a family. Like,
yeah.
We wanted to be in LA. It's closer to get tickets to Japan back to see family. There's a lot of Japanese stuff going on. And like deep down, we're really Japanese. Both of us, we speak Japanese at home. And this is actually, I want to say like, it's not, not normal. Well, it's not uncommon, but. It's we're trying really hard to speak English 100% of the time right now.
Yeah.
We don't usually communicate like this. We speak Japanese like half and half, like Japanglish. We were planning on moving to LA. Like that was the move. We knew it.
Yeah.
Like it wasn't supposed to be so hard. It was the dang unexpected NICU stay.
Yeah, but at the same time, because like the things that you went through with your people that time, like I partially glad that we didn't move away.
Things worked out because it was the original roommates that we had legal issues with, and it was quite scary to be frankly honest.
So like like, it was really unfortunate for you to go through that process. But, like, at the same time, like, I really, like, glad that I, like, me and my kids weren't there, you know? And then we, like, clear everything. We got our own apartment, like, you know, closer studio. Like, everything's, like, so nice and, you know, we figure out and we move. So I think ended up work fine.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We're very, very grateful that we didn't have to move in with those initial roommates. And I won't get too much deep into it. But things worked out for the better in general. And ever since you moved to LA, it's been now almost a year. It's actually been 1 year now since we've moved here. Almost a year since we've moved together.
Yeah, end of this month.
And it's quite frankly, after, in retrospect, this entire year has been amazing. I've spent, because I now have this studio set up at home and I don't have to be at the studio, even though it's only a block away, I'm spending so much time with kids. Like, the first time, like, when you came back, like, I told you that I was scared that it didn't feel like we were a four-piece family. It felt like we were a three-piece and a one-piece. Like, I didn't feel like, because we were gone for so long that it felt like I wasn't part of the family anymore. And it took a long time of getting back together and spending time with each other for me to get comfortable with that. That was extremely distressful for me and probably one of the biggest... I don't think I can quite express how difficult that time in my life was for me and how much it changed, but how much I'm grateful for and how much I'm able to enjoy the company of my kids and family now. I hear a lot of people saying, like, oh, like, this is, like, you don't typically get advice from strangers. Like, people don't come up to you because of the color of your hair or anything like that and start giving you advice on how you should live life, except for one specific thing that people come up to us and give us uninvited but welcomed advice all the time. Is they come up to us, say, oh my gosh, your kids are so cute. This is the best time to, like, this is the best time age, because you're spending so much time with them, like, you can't get this back. Like, please make sure to spend as much time as with them at this age as possible, because you're not going to get this time back. Like, we've had that many times since we've had our children. And I feel like now, because of the trauma that I had and the gratitude that I have now, I feel like I'm doing a damn good job spending a lot of time with my kids.
Mm-hmm.
Something that my father never gave me.
But I also feel like because you spend so many hours before we have kids, like, because I feel like if you have kids, like, right away, it might have been a different story.
Oh, like, if I was trying to build my music career at the... Like, if I hadn't started solo, you know what I'm saying? Okay, is that what you're saying? Like, it was glad that we were married, but didn't have any kids for the first few years.
Yeah.
And we had kids pretty quick. Like, Kaname is now, like, turning 4, and I'm turning 29, so that means...
No, we, like, after 3 years.
3-4 years, yeah, something like that. We've had our first kid. So it was, like, relatively quick. Again, we're really, really young parents and young married couple. It's very rare to see in this day and age, but
it's never be gonna be like we're ready to have kids, you know.
So before we talk about the future, let's talk about the present. How do you feel about me doing music now? I mean, it's calmed down a lot. It's normal now.
Yeah, well, it's been 7 years, so like I don't really have anything else to compare to either. It's like,
I mean, compared to the last 7 years, how is it now?
Yeah, I'm pretty comfortable. Like, I don't.
You're okay being the wife of a musician?
Yeah, I think when you're like performing, I feel like I make sure I support you. You know, like,
and
I go
to
the
shows
and stuff. Like, I still enjoyed it, but like, you know, that type of like different type of support. But right now, you just work at home. It's just any other guy. Just,
I'm not as exciting anymore. No, just kidding.
It's just like you hear music from his office.
Yeah.
But I don't think it's different from any other job. You know?
It's stabilized a lot more. Yeah. And that's actually really awesome. There was, and I want to celebrate. I try to celebrate as much as possible, small things too. Just try to promote gratitude and having enough. But I was talking to one of our runners at the studio, and I was like, you know, the awesome thing about LA is the minimum wage, and if things get really bad, I can get a part-time job for $15 an hour, and minimum wage, $15 an hour, and I can pay rent, and I would do well. I'd cover all of our bases. And then I thought about it and calculated how much 20 hours a week for 4 weeks would make at $15 an hour. And then for the first time in my life, I realized, oh my gosh, if at any point I stopped work in order to do a part-time job, I would lose money. Mm. And that was a crazy time. Like, now we're stable enough where I can't look back. We're past the point of no return now.
Mm.
And how is it emotionally for you? I mean, things are good. Things are stable.
Yeah, I think so.
But then again, even when things were hectic, you weren't.
Well, like what was I going to say? Like, get job? I don't know.
I want to ask you, like, you've been able to, so most people during hard times change or become more, you know, people tend to complain or like, you know, it becomes really confusing whether or not to support your spouse or, you know, people want their husbands or wives to change over time. And that's weird expectations, right? I think it's really incredible. I don't know if I could do it if I were in your shoes. I think it's incredible that you've been able to stay relatively calm and composed and never scared at any point during my career. What's the secret? Why? How have you been able to do that?
Sorry, I zoned out a little bit.
No, but you've been able to be like calm and like you were never scared or like you never freaked out at any point during our career, no matter how stressful it's been. How have you been able to stay calm? Is it just a personality thing? I mean, because you've talked about logical reasons where it's like, even if you freaked out, nothing would change. And you like, you're aware of that. But what is it?
I don't know. Sorry. I'm trying to think.
I think it's definitely partially personality. I think you're very self-aware and very intelligent. And I know you don't like me complimenting you, but
yeah.
But I'm saying that out loud. I think it's true. Say goodnight to Mitch.
Goodnight, Mitch. What? I don't know. I felt like because we really like you're really committed to what you do, even though you change it throughout the year, like it's staying the music, but like you change, you know, like being one type of producer, like you want to be a rock star, you want to be like studio owner, you want to be an engineer, like it changed, but you're like every step of the phase, like you're like really committed.
Do you think that my commitment to the craft and my commitment made you feel like anshin or like,
yeah,
what is anshin in like English? Like secure about my decision. You felt okay.
Yeah.
You felt calm because I was so committed.
Cause you were so committed and yeah, like you didn't make much money for first couple years, but you're so committed and you put so much work and effort, time, you sacrificed a lot of things.
The effort.
Yeah. So I felt like,
something's gonna work out.
So if you're like laying down bed, like, oh, like I wish I had more gigs or like do, you know, saying something like that, then like, no, get a job. But you're like constantly working on something, try something new, something different, that I felt like if something didn't work out with this one, like being rockstar, he will find something else that like work out. Mm-hmm. Or like because you're really committed to this relationship, you will find a way, like you get a job, you know, if nothing work out, like you would do something. You're not gonna sit down and like, I'm sorry I couldn't do this, please still working, make money for us. Like, you wouldn't do that. Like, I knew that.
I do think, what if I did the opposite thing? What if I was, like, not lazy, but what if I wasn't sure and I was always contemplating, do I really want to do this? Is this really right for me? And I never committed. Would that make you feel more uncomfortable?
Yeah. Then, like, then don't do it.
No, for sure. So, which is really interesting to think about. By the way, I know that I'm narrow-sighted and there's so much more than our relationship. And there's so the dynamics between relationships are so wildly different between different marriages and different relationships. And I'm only really looking at this from the perspective of what I understand. And I'm aware of that. But I'm really hoping, whether out of good example or bad example, that anybody listening right now can learn something from us, something to avoid or something to try out. Or I hope at the very least you learn that the importance of being honest with each other. How often do we talk? Like, about serious, important matters. Like, every day, at least a little bit.
Do we?
Yeah, お風呂の中にいつも話してるじゃん。
Yeah, like we talk. You talk.
I talk.
I listen.
Kayako is my therapist. We don't do a lot of, like, small talk. We rarely... Like, I feel like with my ex-girlfriends, like, we would text all the time, all day, every day, and stay on the phone all night until one of us falls asleep.
That's because you're dating. It's different from marriage.
Like, I don't... Even when we were dating, you never texted me. No, I texted you to, like, let's hang out. That was it. We never really, like, heavy text or heavy communicate, but we've talked a lot about important things. Talked a lot about, like, how to raise children, how we want to punish children, how we want to... Like, about music career, about finances. We've talked a lot about important things. I would say, like, almost every day.
Yeah, I guess.
I guess that's not...
I don't remember.
But, yeah, anyway, what about the future? What are you looking forward to? Like, how do I explain this? I'm trying to express this correctly. Like, you're not my music career. Does that make sense?
Mm.
I would definitely say I wouldn't have my music career without you. For sure, 100%.
Mm.
But let's say, as I grow my music career... Does that change how you look at me, or does that change? Will that change how our family is?
Could you say that again?
Like, the more awards I get, the more recognition I get, the more money we make, or anything like that. Do you think that that will change our relationship as a couple? What about as a family?
I don't think so.
Why would you say no, it wouldn't change?
Because even now, like, you told me that, like, you know, here and there, like, you work with, like, super famous people, like, came to a recording studio, you went to work, you know, the big name, which I don't really know most of them. But then, like, and some I know. But, like, to me, it's like, as long as you're happy in your career and provide family, that's all it matter. Like, it's not like I'm gonna, like, oh my goodness, DK get that hour, I'm gonna brag about it to all my friends. No. And it doesn't make... That's, like, confident booster for you, and it makes you happy in a, like, good way and then progress as a career. But, like, it doesn't really mean anything as in, like, having, like, relationship between as in couple and as a family. Like, all we see is daddy's working hard, you know, like, from kids, like, daddy's working hard for us, and, like, we have food on the table, we go out once in a while to have fun, like, go to the beach, you know, and daddy's happy, I'm happy. I think that's all it matters. Like, our doesn't do anything.
Yeah. I think so now, especially with the stability that we have. All right, we're going to end this episode pretty soon. But I want to ask you, for everybody out there, whether it's, you know, women married or dating a man or whatever, it doesn't matter, you have a spouse or whatever, anybody that's trying to build a music career that's married or is in a serious relationship, any advice for them?
I think just, like, set, like expectation and, like, talk about goals. Because like you're confident that you what you want to do. Like, I think it can be anything, like, especially like music career or like art or like something, you know, like that. It's like, if that person in it is not sure, other people around you is can't really commit to do anything either. So
set expectations and commit.
Yeah.
What about for all the opposite ends? So that was for all of the DKs in the world. People mm-hmm. trying to. So what about the opposite? The spouse of the person, the other end. What's your advice for all of the Kayakos in the world who has a spouse or a partner that is seriously invested in music?
I think good space and trust. Like, trust the process that they're going through. Because knowing what you're doing, like, every single thing doesn't help, I don't think. You know?
How do you mean?
Like, what you're doing, what you're going to do, you know? What clients you're going to take, like, how much money, you know?
Being
like,
very controlling of the
controlling,
process.
Yeah. Like, being involved is good. Like, I get comfortable, secure. But it's more like to know the direction that you're going. It's not like every step.
Mm.
You're like,
yeah, yeah. So you're not like obsessing. I think this is like goes into like there's a quote that says the opposite of faith is not fear. The opposite of faith is control.
Uh-huh.
Where it's like have faith in the process. Like they're gonna get hurt. They're gonna have good times. They're gonna have bad times. Like don't worry too much about it. Don't overthink it. Is that kind of what you're saying?
Yeah, and then also, like, keep it busy.
So what did you say? You also said space. What does that mean to keep space for you?
It's just, like, a control thing. It's, like, keep it distant. Like, have a room to, like, let you do what you do. It's, like, I'm not really close to you all the time.
Yeah, no, that makes sense.
Like, I have my things. Like, yes, like, I'm doing everything for my family. Like, there's not many me thing throughout this year, but at least I was busy and I felt like I have purpose. Like I'm providing for my family. Like that's my focus, not like what you're doing.
Mm. Absolutely.
So like constantly thinking like when he's gonna make a break, you know, when he's gonna, you know, like a hit hit song, or like I never think about those.
It's never about the end results, about the process.
Yeah.
I think, hopefully this was insightful to you. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode.
Yeah, I hope
I mean, at least it was fun. At least it was fun for us. We had some laughs. It's been quite a wild ride, our marriage, and I'm sure, I hope that it's quite more wild in the future. Really appreciate you and everything that you do. And I'll say that publicly, but I also say it privately all the time. I'm really, really grateful. I don't think most people have... No, I'm not going to make it sound like a comparison. I'm very, very grateful to have someone like Kayako who gives me space and allows me... that trusts me so much and has a lot of faith in my process. And I'm really grateful that somehow I've been able to find the passion to commit that... I was somehow been able to find a passion so deep that I was able to convince someone like Kayako, who seeks stability, to marry someone as unstable as me. And really grateful for the pain that we've been through in order to be able to appreciate the joy that we have. I'm really excited to spend the rest of forever with you. That was really corny. I apologize for anybody that cringed. I apologize for anybody that cringed. And
I didn't say anything.
Junior on Instagram says, all the Kayakos in the world are amazing. I'll tell you that, fam. It's true. Shout out to all the spouses that are supporting a spouse that is pursuing music. Shout out to everybody from both sides of the story. Like, it is really difficult. It will be. And some... It's fun. It's fun. Just let it be fun. Just enjoy the process. I think the only thing that you can do, Kako says this all the time, there's no need to argue about it. There's no need to talk about it because it doesn't, even if we figured it out, what would we be in a better place? Sometimes there's no need to stress and there's no need to fear because the fear itself does not improve anything. Yeah. So hopefully this has been a good episode for y'all. We've been having some nice comments in the chat and appreciate everybody here. The internet went down at one point about 40 minutes in. And we had to kind of restart from scratch there. So hopefully we lost a lot of people in the chat. But we're back up and running. Thank you so much for listening. On that note, happy mixing, my friends. Are you going to say it? You want to say it with me? Do you know what I say at the end of the podcast?
No, I haven't listened.
You don't listen to my podcast?
Well, like, what do I learn from it?
Yeah, that's fair. That your husband's crazy. That's what you learned from it. All right.
Listened to like very, very first couple episodes.
Okay, cool. All right. I say happy mixing, my friends, and stay saucy. Can you say it with me? Or you say it. And I do finger guns every time. Ready? Happy mixing, my friends.
What am I supposed to say?
And stay saucy.
And stay saucy.
Yeah. We have a lot of videos of the podcast and various other tutorials on YouTube. You can subscribe to our channel at mixingmusicpodcast.com/YouTube. Happy mixing and enjoy the show.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.